Dear sisters, we are going further to the sixth lesson. And at first glance, it's very common. I think all of you many times heard about the covering of the head. And half a year ago, we already spoke about this matter. And then we tried to show you small vision. But tonight, we want to enlarge this vision and to show you more. Sisters, when Paul speaks about any truths in the Bible, he always tries to show us the heavenly vision. I don't know what about Poland. I never went into Catholic cathedrals. But in Russia, if you are a woman and you are trying to get to Orthodox Church, someone will come to you instantly and ask you to cover your head. So as a woman, you cannot enter temple without head covering. And when people understand this, they start to cover their head. But interesting enough, that people who ask them to cover their head don't explain anything. Everyone knows that this is how it should be, and it's like a tradition. But no one understands the heavenly vision. Why do you need to do it? Why women need to put on the covering of the head? When Paul shows us this vision, he doesn't just force sisters to put something on their head. Paul shows us the heavenly vision. Sisters, today we want with Paul to touch this heavenly vision. We want for you this not to be merely teaching. Everything we do, we should do out of from the vision. And out of conscience. To see this, we need to see the greatest picture in the universe. All you know that first epistle to Corinthians, first epistle was wrote to Corinthians, and he wrote it because there were many problems in the church. So Paul starts to list one problem after another. You can tell that they touch different problems of human life. He's talking about division, about fornication. He's talking about how believers went on a court with each other. They said that some ate, sacrificed to idols, others didn't. But starting from chapter 10, Apostle Paul is turning his speaking. He starts to tell what is on God's heart. And he starts to speak firstly about Lord's table. He says that firstly, it's not for us, but for the Lord. Corinthians, when they gathered together, they just took it as a love feast. And that's why they just were eating, drinking, and some of them, they were even drunk. That's why Apostle Paul says, you cannot come to the Lord's table like this. Because the Lord's table is not meant for you, but for the Lord. So in the chapter 10, you see the first turn. In this ship, you don't only see the need of man, but also the need of the Lord, of God. But in chapter 11, you see even more. Believers read this chapter, and they connect it to the head covering. But look how even words of Apostle Paul are changing. In chapter 11, he stops calling believers brothers and sisters. He calls them men and women. You should ask why suddenly Apostle Paul starts to change terminology. Because Paul now started to speak about God's administration. Now Paul doesn't talk about the church anymore, and nor of grace, nor of forgiveness, nor of our relationship as brothers and sisters. Paul shows us the universe picture of God's administration, God's purpose. And all of a sudden, we see a greatest vision. Apparently, in the universe, God's administration exists. And our relationship with God, they aren't just a relationship of a father and son. It's not just the relationship of Savior and the saved ones. God appears in this chapter as the highest ruler. Brother Watchman Lee has a message on head covering. And he says that this picture of head covering is showing the greatest picture in the universe. In the universe, there are two systems. First system is the system of grace. And the second is the system of God's administration. When you see the system of grace, you see that it points to everything that we see in the New Testament. It implies such terms as grace, joy, love. It also implies spirit, pleasure, salvation. So when they touch the system, they think, oh, now my relationship with the Lord will be only such. God is my Father. He is obliged to forgive me. Nothing, like anything I would commit, He will forgive. Moreover, in the church, we shouldn't have any difference between each other. All our brothers and sisters shouldn't be any responsible brothers. No order. We're just brothers, sisters. We love each other. Praise the Lord. But Paul show us that there is also other system. And the system isn't the system of grace anymore. It's the system of God's administration. And this system, dear friends, appeared before man was created. It appeared when God started to create the universe. He started to create angels. The book of Job tells us that angels were first to be created. It says that when he were laying the foundation of the earth, angels were singing. They were rejoicing. That means that they were created even before the foundation of the earth. And then, when he created angels, he put one of the angels to rule over others. He appointed Lucifer, the morning star. Here you see that God gave his power, his authority to one of the angels. So you see that totally different system appears. God now appears not just as Father or the Savior. He appears as the highest ruler, supreme ruler. Today, many believers, they have the wrong concept. They think that when we received forgiveness, then the system of God's administration disappeared. So there is no the system anymore and no authority. This is why Paul is trying to show us this vision. That at the Lord's table, we shouldn't behave ourselves as we will. And it says that the Lord can even punish you for behaving in such a way. But you can say, why? The Lord forgave me. He is now my Father, and I am His Son. He is obliged to save me. Saints, sisters, from one side, yes, God is our Father. But from the other, He is the head of the whole universe. And He doesn't put aside His administration. system of grace is actually meant to give us the grace or to the supply to live under God's administration. Sisters, when you experience the grace, this grace should strengthen us to live under God's administration. If we, me and you, say that we enjoy grace but we don't live under His rulership, then in some sense we don't know God. Because God is not just the Father or the Savior. God is the ruler and the highest judge. That's why Bible tells us that there is a sin to death. When you read this, you don't understand how God can punish believers. We think it doesn't have any sense. God loves us, doesn't He? He forgave us. He died for us. Why would He punish believers? Because there is not only the system of forgiveness, but the system of His administration. And sisters, if you will see this picture, then you will understand why sisters should cover their head. In two words. God created man and woman to show the whole universe the system of His administration. He created man and woman not to show grace. He created man and woman to demonstrate to the whole universe His rulership. And we read this verse a couple of times yesterday. It's First Roman numerals and message 5. Lesson 5, First Roman numeral. Let's read together in all languages. This verse explains the whole system. And I want you to know that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. If I was to write this verse, at first I would write not man but brother, not woman but sister, not God but the Father. But if we were to write brother, sister, and father, then we would speak about the system of grace. In the grace of God, we all are brothers and sisters. The system of God's grace, God is our Father. That's why when we function, we don't draw the difference between brothers and sisters. When we pray, brothers can pray, sisters can pray. When we preach the gospel, brothers can preach the gospel, sisters can. When we prophesy, brothers and sisters can prophesy. And that's why many believers start to have this thought that there is no distinguence. Moreover, Galatians, in third chapter, it says that in Christ there is no woman nor man. And then all the believers says, I see, there is no difference. But Apostle says about our position before God. For God, yes, there is no difference. For Him, we all are His sons. But in the universe, there is a system of His power and of His administration. In this system, God is the head. And in this system, Christ is subject to God, the Father. In second chapter of Philippians, the humiliation of Christ is depicted. There is said that Christ was equal to God, but He didn't grasp this as the treasure to hold to unto, but He humbled Himself, and He came to the earth as slave and a man. Just think about it. If Christ was equal to God, why He needed to humble Himself? Why He needed to be obedient to Father and to death? Just imagine, me and Stashek, we are equal in all things. You know, once I went to Anaheim to the training. I was in the house of one Japanese brother. But I was with another brother from Russia. We were together. And this Japanese brother said, he said, we have one bed and one mattress on the floor. Who from you is older? And I say, I. And then he said, okay, then you sleep on the bed, and then second brother sleeps on the floor. There were no questions. Everything is solved very simple. But what if we were equal? If we were to be born in the same day, maybe he would ask, what hour did were you born? But what if we were twins and we were born the same hour, same time? Just imagine, we are just the same. We are twins and we don't even know who were born before, first. And then all of a sudden, he says, I will be head and you will be my slave. And you know what I would say? And I would say, of course, no problem. Just think about it, why Christ needed to humble Himself. You could say, well, because there is a Father and there is a Son. Father is always head and Son should always submit. But their relationship as Father and Son isn't relationship of Son and Father on the earth. Son wasn't born of the Father at certain point in the eternity. It just points on the complication of their relationship when one is always giving and the other receiving. Dispensing and receiving. But one is not higher than the other and the other is not lower. I just want you to see that they were absolutely equal. And all of a sudden, one says, I will be obedient unto you and to death. In the book, Power and Submission, Authority and Submission, it said that Son established submission, which Mani says before the humbleness of the Son, there was no submission. That means that in the universe there were never true authority and submission. That means that Son showed us the example, the pattern of authority and submission. Sisters, if you will see this picture, many questions will disappear. You will never ask again why I need to be subject. Why God created me a woman? Why man is the head of woman? This is God's authority and His administration. Someone needs to be the head. Someone should demonstrate the authority of the head. And someone needs to be in submission and should be the pattern of submission. When the whole universe is watching people, when angels and fallen angels look at the earth, they see chaos and disorder. And only in the church you can find the true picture of God's administration. Authority and submission. When you see the church, you see how universe should be. In the church, sisters are under brothers. And brothers are under Christ. And Christ is under God. If you will see this picture, you will understand that in the church we cannot be just all equal. In Christ, before God, we are equal. Moreover, when we all will be resurrected, we will be like angels, will not have gender. Imagine, today we are men, women, wives and husbands. But when we resurrect, all of us will be equal. We all will be sons of God. Then why today He created us in this manner. He could also create us as angels in the first place. He wanted to show the whole universe the picture of authority and submission. Sisters, that's why our head covering isn't just formal religious act. We shouldn't be just like people in the temple who forces women to wear head covering. Because we are governed by the vision and revelation. If we will see this vision, all questions will cease. Okay, let's look at the outline now. Let's read title together. Lesson 6. Woman in God's administration, headship and head covering. First Roman numeral, let's read together. The significance of the woman is that she represents man before God. When we see women on the earth, these women are the picture of mankind on the earth. You remember how God created man? He didn't create two people simultaneously. He created one, Adam, and then he led all the animals to Adam. And he said that it's not good for man to be alone. One man, Adam, when he looked at the all creation, he were inwardly seeking for a counterpart. God says that for a man is not good to be alone. How God would know how is it for a man? Because for him it's not good to be alone. Just imagine why God started to create the universe. You think he didn't feel well? Or maybe he didn't have anything to do? Oh, he wanted someone to share his riches. Man was created to be counterpart for God. Eve was created as a spouse of Adam. When Adam saw Eve, he was so delighted. He said, finally, it is the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He showed in this picture that God himself needs a counterpart. God needs man just as man needs woman. When God looks at the whole mankind, he sees his bride, his counterpart. And in that sense, all women are the picture of men before God. Brothers, they have different function. Man's function is to represent the authority of Christ. Unfortunately, man fell and is not representing, is not fulfilling his function properly. That's why most of men, they don't represent the authority of Christ. And most women don't imply the picture of a man in submission. But we are talking about the picture and the purpose of God when He created us. Sisters, all of you are women. And you all represent us before God. Point 8 says, Isaiah 54:5 says, for your maker is your husband. God is the unique universal man. Whether we are males or females, we all are a part of his wife. Man's position is not the position of the husband, it is the position of a wife. God is our husband. The headship is with God, not with us, not even with the man. Well, sisters, when angels look at us, they should see this system of God's authority. If they see men who are under the authority of Christ, then they say, these people know the authority. When they see women who are under, who are in submission, angels can say, we know that these people know the submission. Dear sisters, in the world is void of it. It's not possible there. To live in this way is possible only in the church by the grace. Only in the church we can demonstrate the true authority and submission. Sisters, when the universe looks at us, they shouldn't see rebellion and lawlessness. All of them should see the picture of subordination. Sisters are subject to a man, and men are subject to Christ. Second, Roman numeral. The failure of the woman consisted in being over the man and assuming the headship. Yesterday we spoke about it. When serpent came to tempt man, he went not to man but to woman. That means that he touched not God but man. And the problem was that man decided to exercise the authority. Sisters, when you encounter any matters, when before you any problem occurs, then in any sense, in certain sense, it's a test. Would you take the position of submission, or would you consider yourself as a head? Sisters, when a devil comes, he always tempts us to leave the position of submission. He always tempts us to enter the position of the head. Remember, the same thing was when he was tempting Jesus. Remember the first temptation? He said, if you are the Son of God, tell and these stones will become bread. But what the Lord answered them? Him. As God, Christ could do this. He could make these stones, turn the stones into bread. He had the God's authority to make it. But he took the position of man. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. So the Lord showed enemy that he is standing on the position of man. So main question was not if the Lord will make this wonder. The main question was what position he takes. If he would declare to the whole universe that he would humble himself. Then he should remain on the position of submission. Eve was meant to act in the same way. He should have said, I don't know what to answer. I will ask Adam. Adam needed to say, I don't know what to do. I will ask God. If this was the case, we wouldn't be right now here. But this didn't happen because woman, she took the position of the head. Take notice that it happened even before Eve fell. Even before she took of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. We think all the problem is in sin. We think that main reason is the sinful nature in us. Sisters, the main problem isn't sin. The main problem is that we want to be the head. If we want to be the head, it always leads us to sin. And the problem with Eve was that she first took the position of the head and then she fell. What does it mean? That only God's life can make us subject. When we don't have God's life, if we don't enjoy God's life, we always want to have headship. We never want to submit. You know, I look at you, sisters. We all look so good, so humble, so meek and so wonderful. But in my life, I learned not to lie. Because I know that oftentimes outward meekness hides the desire to be the head inwardly. Sisters, is the disease of every man. Only grace and God's life can make us people of submission. Don't use grace in wrong goals. Don't say, I have grace, that's why now I'm not under authority. Grace is not for rebellion. Grace is needed to be in submission in God's administration. And A, let's read in Polish. This failure of Eve's part typifies man's assuming the headship and signifies his being over God and putting God aside. This same principle operates today. Whenever we act on our own, putting the Lord aside, we are defeated. You see, all the same. We can accuse Eve. We can accuse Adam. But actually, we live in the same way. They made this decision once and for all. We need to make this decision every day. Will we live under the authority? Will we take His as our head? Or we will assume ourselves as husband and the head? Third Roman numeral, the position of the woman is one of covering her head and never assuming the headship. Sisters, you need to cover your head to demonstrate that in the universe there is only one headship. When you cover your head, it shows to the whole universe that there are people on the earth who live in the system of God's administration. And A, Polish, we must always keep ourselves under God's covering. The woman must cover her head and never assume the headship. B, since God is our head, we should always turn to Him. It says we must never assume headship. Even the responsible leading brothers shouldn't assume themselves as the head. They need to take the headship of Christ. And you shouldn't think that women as sisters are subject and brothers do whatever they will. Brothers, in like manner, should take Christ as their head, but they don't cover their head to demonstrate this other side. If Bible said that brothers should cover their head, I first would put the covering on my head. You know, sisters, it's a very huge vision. And Paul received this revelation from this vision from God. There was no culture of such a tradition. Some might say, oh, Hebrews they had, Jews they had this tradition. But if you look at the history, actually men covered their head there. All a man, they put this little hat on their head, and when they pray, they put, they cover their face. Pagans, in their tradition, no one covered their head. There was no culture where men didn't cover their head and women did cover. That's why Apostle Paul doesn't tell you some some legends, human legends, but he shows you the authority of the universe. And fourth Roman numeral, head covering is a sign of submission to authority. 1 Corinthians 11:10 says, therefore, the woman ought to have a sign of submission to authority of her head for the sake of the angels. The head signifies authority. According to God's ordination, a woman, even though she has her own head, should not be the head, but should submit to authority. Thus, she should cover her head as a confession and declaration that even though she has her own head, she's not the head and does not act as the head. Sisters, Christ could have the authority over the whole earth, but he, because he was equal to God, but he humbled himself. And it says that actually, sisters, they do have head. God didn't create you without heads, but you should demonstrate to the whole universe that you take Christ as your head. That's why women should cover their head. Point B says that head covering declares that a woman is under authority and confesses and receives another as her head, allowing him to be the head. Simply speaking, when the woman covers her head, it is a sign that she submits to authority. Half a year ago, we were speaking about this matter that sisters should cover before angels, because there are angels in this universe, and they're kind angels and evil angels, and they look at how men can live under their authority. Evil angels, they rebelled against God. And for them, this is anti-testimony when people take their submission and live like this. But here we see the other side, that women, they cover their head not just for the angel. They're covering their head to show the universe the system of God's administration. Okay, next points, let's read in English, in turns. In verse 5, Paul says, "But every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered disgraces her head, for it is one and the same thing as she who shaved. Since woman is under the headship of man, she should keep her head covered, not exposed, when she touches the divine administration by praying to God and speaking for God. Otherwise, she disgraces or shames her head, as if having her head shaved, because she denies the divine governmental ordination by exposing her head to the observing angels when she touches the authority of God." Verse 6 says, "For if a woman is not covered, let her hair also be cut off. But if it is shameful for a woman to have her hair cut off or to be shaved, let her be covered." This indicates that the head covering is a covering in addition to long hair. For a woman to have long hair, not having her head shaved, signifies that she does not reject God's governmental ordination. And for a woman to have a head covering in addition to her long hair is to say amen to the divine ordination. Sisters, here you see an important picture. When sister is functioning in the church, she should have a proper testimony. When she prophesies or prays, she should do it with her head covered. That means she should cover her head in addition with long hair. If she doesn't cover her head, it's just like she is disgraced before God. She doesn't care, so it's better for her just to shave her hair. When you see this picture, you understand that for Apostle Paul, this was a very serious matter. Apostle Paul didn't live just in grace. He lived knowing God's authority. God wasn't just a father for him. He was also a judge and ruler. It should be the same for us. But this doesn't happen automatically. Only when we enjoy grace and grow in grace, we start to mature in our understanding. Because of the enjoyment of Christ, we are growing in our understanding. God doesn't demand from us like from little children. He wants us to come to a certain maturity. Okay, point five. We want to read together. We need to see the reasons for head covering. I now read alternate some points. Man is God's image and glory, but woman is the glory of man. Man was made in God's image to express God and glorify Him. Since man bears God's image and glory and represents God, he ought not to have his head covered. If he does, God's image and glory will be concealed. Since woman is the glory of man, she ought not to have her head expressed, but covered. She should not express herself, but the man under whom she is. Man is not out of woman, but woman is out of man. As a rib taken out of man, woman was made out of man. God did not create a woman. He formed a male body from the dust of the ground and breathed into this body the breath of life. As a result, a man named Adam became a living soul. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and then he opened his side, took out a rib, and used that rib to build a woman. Thus, woman was not created, but came out of man. This indicates that the woman's place is by the side of the man. Man was not created for the sake of the woman, but the woman were for the sake of the man. Here the apostle takes God's purpose in the creation of man and woman as another strong ground for his teaching of head covering. It is based not upon any human-made customs, but upon the divine purpose of creation. In creation, woman was made for the purpose of matching man. Woman ought to have authority on her head for the sake of the angels. Authority here denotes the head covering, which signifies the authority of man's headship over the woman. Satan, a chief angel, had been commissioned to control the universe for God, but he rebelled and certain angels followed him. Of course, a good number of angels remained faithful to God. God created men to deal with the rebellious angels. As the church, we should declare to the angels, both to the rebellious and to the submissive ones, that as God's redeemed people, we are not rebellious against His headship. Even in this rebellious age, we submit to His authority. The covering of the sister's head is a sign declaring this to the angels. Nature itself teaches us that long hair is a dishonor to a man, but long hair is a glory to a woman. When Paul says nature here, he's referring to our natural constitution according to God's creation. Nature itself tells us that men should not have long hair, but the woman should. The woman, by her female constitution, realizes that to have long hair to cover her head is a glory. This is also a strong ground for the apostles' teaching concerning head covering. You see that speaking of Apostle Paul is very wide. It says that man wasn't created for woman, but woman was. And then he says, but also man comes through woman. And then you see that Apostle Paul is not just lowering woman. He actually is showing us that between a man and a woman, there is a very deep connection. Men cannot exist without woman. Even Christ Jesus came to the earth through the woman. But nevertheless, woman needs to demonstrate the submission. And then he moves on to speak about the long hair. And he says, a man shouldn't have long hair. And interestingly, he says, even nature itself speaks it. I think all of you who, when you see a man with long hair, you have a weird feeling inside. It's not even related to any teachings. It's just our nature is against it. And just in like manner, if you see shaved woman, you have the same reaction. So God has put this in our nature. But he says, even in addition to long hair, women should have this testimony. And the last point is trying to balance all of it. We might think that this teaching should be forced on everyone. This is such a great vision, we all should fulfill it. Sisters, in the church life, we don't force anyone to do anything. Yes, we have this teaching, we have this understanding, but we don't force anyone as just formal, empty sign, empty way. We need to have the revelation and live according to the vision. Let's read 6 together. We do not want to make head covering a mere outward formality, but it is a fact that the Bible reveals that the church should have such a sign declaring that we are people under God's headship. In the church meetings, the sisters should wear a head covering to signify that we recognize God's authority and respect His headship, and that we are not a people rebellious against God. Instead, we are absolutely submissive to Him and signify this by having a head covering. However, although this has been our practice for more than 50 years, we have never forced anyone to participate in such a practice. In speaking about head covering, it is not our intention for the sisters to accept an outward practice merely in a doctrinal way. When a sister puts a covering on her head, she needs to realize the significance of head covering. Надеюсь, вы принесете. Sisters, I hope you will bring this fellowship to the Lord in prayer. Don't think when you heard this once that you now understand everything. Everything we hear needs to become to us a heavenly vision. But vision only comes through prayer and the exercising of the Spirit. May the Lord have mercy on us, so the church would be the demonstration of God's authority.